the great comfort that's drawn from the immutability of God. Immutability means that God does not change. There's a lot of change going on right now, as we all know. This COVID virus has really kind of put us into a tailspin in the whole world, really. And with ourselves, we know we're really in a tailspin. A lot of things happening. A lot of things are unusual. A lot of things are changing. A lot of things that we did kind of take for granted, we can't do that anymore. And then these elections coming up and all the momentous things in our country, we're seeing things we thought we'd never see before. The wickedness is absolutely astounding. That's also disheartening. And I know we've got the elections coming up too. Everybody's thinking about that. So a lot of things can dismay us. But I hope you'll draw great comfort out of the immutability, the unchangeableness of the Lord. And a verse I've always liked a lot, I know you know this very well, you'll be able to say it with me. It's a verse from one of our songs, Abide With Me. And here's what that verse says, and it's certainly true. Swift to its close ebbs out life's little day. Earth's joys grow dim, its glories pass away. Change and decay, and all around I see. Oh, thou who changes not, abide with me. Isn't that great? Change and decay, and all around I see. Oh, thou who changes not, abide with me. Stay with me. Remain with me. And while we're at it, before I get down to the subject, I had a verse that hit me pretty hard about these elections, because I know I voted. I know a lot of you voted. I've done a lot of praying. I know what I hope happens, but I want to read you a verse. This is from Psalm 146, verse 3. So pay attention to this. Those of you who are very concerned about our nation and about the election coming up Tuesday, it'll be on our heart very much. So here we go now, Psalm 146, verse 3. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom is no help. And I wrote out in my notes here, that includes our president and the party. Don't put your trust in a party and or in a president. I certainly have a party I favor, and I know you do too, and I have a president I favor. But don't put your trust in either the president or in the party. I'll read the verse again, Psalm 146, verse 3. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom is no help. So literally, and really, and ultimately, there's no help in man. It's our help got to be in God. I think sometimes, God, these things happen to make us realize that, you know, we don't really remember how much we try to be self-reliant. We think we're dependent on God, but really we kind of depend on ourselves more than we think we do. And God got away of jerking the rug out from under us. And then we got to really pray and know we are totally helpless. You know, you can't draw breath without God Almighty. You can't have a heartbeat without God. I've told you this before, I think, but it always amazes me. I'm almost 80 years old. I'm 79 years old. So I did a little Googling, and an 80-year-old man has had 3.6 billion heartbeats in his life. And he draws 62 million breaths. And every one of those heartbeats came from God, because one of these days he's going to quit beating. I'm going to go be the Lord. And those breaths, when they did it, I'm going to breathe my last breath. I don't know what you think about God, but I think he's a controller. I believe my God has given me every heartbeat I have ever had, and every breath I've ever drawn has come from God. But I want to talk about change a little bit before we talk about God's immutability. It is true, change and decay, and that's true in all around we see. So let's just talk about some of these changes. You think with me, and you can come up with some others. I've done some meditating on this. We have a change in our bodies. Our bodies are wearing out. At my age, I know that. And Sister Patty had to undergo a lot of change in her body. You kids who think you're going to live forever are going to find out there'll be changes in your bodies. Your eyesight will not be what it used to be. Your hearing won't be. Your energy won't be. Some of your organs won't be working right. In fact, at my age, you know, I'm in pretty good health, and I thank God for that. This last week, I kind of had a setback. One of my old buddies came to see me, one of my classmates, old Dale Hastings, and he just lost his wife, and he's having some problems. He told me about one of my friends, Jimmy Dennis, who's in the hospital, gets some stents put in. He's having congestive heart failure, and he may not make it. And I called Phil Holmes down in Georgia. He got stage 3 kidney failure. I'm not laughing about that, but I'm just a man alive. My old buddies are wearing out, and I'm wearing out too. You're going to be wearing out too one of these days. So changing the cake and all around, I see. In fact, I want to read a verse right now. Even talked about that, but I hope it will encourage you. This is over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. For which cause, this is 2 Corinthians 4, 16. For which cause we faint not, for though our outward man perish, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. Holy Philip again this day, that's a strong word. That word perish is a strong word. It means actually it's going to utterly rot. And that's what's happening right now. Our bodies are going down. Our bodies are going, when we're born, the seeds of death are planted in us. I'm going to tell you why in just a minute. But our outward man is perishing. That's all there is to it. We all do all we can to take care of our health. It's wrong not to take care of your health. But our health is going to inevitably decline. In fact, you know, mortality, there's 100% mortality rate. you talk about mortality rate, obviously, unless the Lord comes, it's 100% mortality rate. By the way, face that. People eat a lot of health food. I'm all for that. And the exercise, I'm all for that. And we ought to take care of the temple of the Holy Spirit God gives us. But I tell you what, I don't care how much you're taking care of your body, it's going to wear out. You know, Jack LaLanne was a man, you may remember him. He was an exerciser. And he really made a God out of exercise, even though he was a pretty wholesome man. I don't know if he was a child of God or not. But every year, he would have a great feat. He'd do his birthday. Like maybe he would maybe swim in over in San Francisco on the bay there, and he'd be pulling a bunch of ships with his teeth and stuff like that. All kind of just amazing feats. But I saw him right before he died, and some lady was interviewing him. She said, Jack, what are you going to do on your birthday this year? He said, well, I think I'm going to swim across the bathtub. So we get to the point that we can do hardly anything. But so our outward man is perishing. That's all there is to it. I love my health. I thank God for my health every day. You need to thank God for your health, but I am perishing. The outward man perishes. But here's the good news. The inward man is renewed day by day. Your soul's not getting old. Your spirit's not getting old. And God's going to renew your soul every day. We saw that in Sister Patty. Even though her body is perishing, her soul, her inward man, is being renewed day by day. So while you cultivate your body, don't neglect your soul. Put more time and effort into cultivating your soul than you even do your body. Be reading the Bible. The Word of God makes you come alive. Be praying to God Almighty. Do good works of service. Be obedient. Cultivate that soul. God renewing it day by day. Our soul is not getting old. But also we have change in our wealth. We know our economy is kind of shaky right now. I don't know what will happen. Maybe in our individual, even economies, people lose their jobs. So we have change in our wealth. We have change in political circumstances. That's already been made prominent lately. It's amazing some of the things going on in the political world. I can hardly believe some things going on. Some things proposed, absolutely amazing. But there are changes in that. We love the United States. We love our Constitution. Our Constitution is not the Word of God. The Declaration of Independence is not the Word of God. I love our country. Some people almost worship our country. I'm glad to be a citizen of the United States. I say God bless America. But I tell you, I don't care how good the Constitution is. Right now, it's kind of being disregarded anyway. So we have changes in politics. We cannot put trust in just the United States as it were. We have changes in our families, don't we? People die. Kids grow up. I hope you parents realize your kids are growing up faster than you think they are. Judy and I have already raised our kids, and they just zoom before we knew they were raised. They get older. There are changes in our families. There are changes in our marriage relationships. Even our spouses die. Things like Sister Patty had to be a widow for 23 years. So there are changes and all that sort of thing. I love my wife very much, very much. I depend on her a lot. But I cannot worship my wife. She may be taken from me. I don't know. I hope not. But I can't she's not my bedrock. Changes in friendships. You know, sometimes we have a rift that happens between people who are close friends and maybe somebody who disappoints us. War and peace. Now, thank God, so far in the United States, except for the war between the states, we haven't had to undergo war. But a lot of countries have. It's horrifying what happens when there's a war. I do a lot of study on history. It's kind of my second love. Kind of a hobby. So there's war, and the changes, just amazing changes. Then the weather. Think about the weather. You know, we have tornadoes, we have hurricanes, we have all sorts of things like that. So there's change in almost everything. Now, I'm going to tell you why that your body wearing out. I'm going to tell you why the world, and my friend, the world is wearing out. The world is going down. I'm going to tell you that. I'm going to give you a scripture on it. I'm going to give you a scientific word, first of all, then I'll give you a scripture. And it's because of sin. When Adam sinned, then Adam began to die. But I'm telling you, the world began to die also. God didn't only curse the earth. I mean Adam. He cursed the earth, too. And so the world wearing, it's not going to live forever. This universe in the present state is not going to live forever. And that's what you call, Tony Martin, a good member, who's a good scientist, will like this word. It's the principle of entropy, which is the second law of thermodynamics. And what that means is disorder is coming in the universe, increasing disorder. Evolution can't be true. The opposite of evolution is true. Instead of the world getting better, it's getting worse. The matter is getting increasingly disorganized. That's because of the curse. And so I'll just read you this. I studied it even yesterday. The principle of entropy, that means there's an increase, this disorder in matter, and the universe is being degraded. In some of these days, it's going to come to an ultimate state of complete disorganization. That's when God can destroy this world. And I kind of got amused yesterday. I got on the internet and get to study this out a little bit, and some lady was talking about, inevitably, the universe is someday just going to be gone. But she said, don't worry about it. It'll be trillions and trillions of years. She even has some kind of a figure up there, and how long it'll be gone. Don't worry about it. It's not going to happen in your lifetime. But she was wrong about it being so long. One of these days, my friend, the world is going to be destroyed. Read about it in 2 Peter chapter 3. The day of the Lord shall come at the thief of the night, with the heavens shall pass with a great noise, the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, the works of therein, shall be burned up, because the world is going down, becoming increasingly disordered because of sin. Your body, the reason your body wears out, the reason you die is because of sin. So let's change. You can't keep everything. You know, it's kind of interesting from my standpoint, being at my age, to see people entire lifetime. Remember I had a professor I liked a lot, William Gillespie, who was a history professor. And he came to the University of Memphis. I got to be in his first class after he graduated from Florida State University. He's a brilliant man, a good-looking man, a personable man, a nice man. And it looked like he had his life ahead of him. His life was ahead of him at that time. He didn't know the Lord. That's the sad part. He's not a Christian. I wish he had been a Christian. But he had a lot of ambition, and he was voted the first favorite teacher when they started that stuff at the University of Memphis. He could speak Spanish and Portuguese like a native, had it made. You know how he wound up? He wound up finally in despair. He wound up an alcoholic. But I don't care how much prospect there is of some kind of success. My friend, everything changes except God Almighty. He's our rock. We can't depend on anything except God. Now, let me tell you from the Bible about the principle of entropy. I've given you the scientific word entropy, which is a winding down of the universe. Because of sin, and there's change in everything, right? But Hebrews tells us about that. This is over in Hebrews chapter 1. And the writer of Hebrews here is quoting from Psalm 102. Incredibly interesting here. And I love this so much. I love Hebrews 1 anyway. If you want to have a title on Hebrews 1, call it Eavesdropping on the Holy of Holies. That'll make you have goosebumps. Eavesdropping on the Holy of Holies. Here in Hebrews 1, the God Almighty, the Father, is talking to His Son, and God the Father is calling His Son God and calling Him Lord. Isn't that wonderful? You people who deny the Trinity, deny the divinity of Christ, they'll read Hebrews 1 and believe that. He called Him God. He called Him Lord. I mean, He called Him Lord now, the passage I'm fixing to read to you. This is over in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 10 through 12. Now, this is God the Father talking to God the Son. And thou, Lord, in the beginning, has laid the foundation of the earth. We know Jesus Christ is involved in creation. Thou, Lord, in the beginning, has laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. Get this. We see the heavens. We see the earth. We see the universe. It'll be here forever. It's constant, all that we think. But then look at verse 11. They shall perish. That's the heavens and the earth. But thou remainest, immutability, you're the one who doesn't change. They all shall wax old as up a garment, like a piece of like a garment you have, that you love this coat and you wear it for years and years, and the thing starts wearing out. You got to get rid of it. We all know that happens. We have a suit. We wear it for a few years. We got to get rid of that and get a new suit because it's wearing out on us. He says, universe is wearing out like a garment. As a vesture, thou shalt fold them up. They shall be changed. They shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. Isn't that beautiful? Thou art the same, God. Thy years shall not fail. There's no change in you. The universe changes. The rock of Gibraltar, which is a symbol of stability, will burn up one of these days. Mount Everest, as big as it is, will burn up one of these days. The Atlantic Ocean, Pacific Ocean, will be gone some of these days. Like I say, read 2 Peter chapter 3. That'd be a good thing to do this afternoon. That's the destruction of this universe. It's going to be amazing. We don't have to, I'm not worried about climate change. I'm not worried about us destroying the world. We can't destroy the world. My friend, God's the one who's going to destroy this world. But thank God, I want to tell you this, according to 2 Peter 3:13, get this now, nevertheless, we, according to his word, look for new heavens and a new earth. Hallelujah. That's not in there. I'll put that in there. New heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. There won't be any change there. Friends, when you do leave this old world and go be with God, change is over for you also. You are going to have a body incorruptible, this reserved in heaven for you. You won't be doing any more changes. The change will be gone. You will be made like the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not gods, but we're like Jesus Christ. My friend, we're confirmed in that forever and forever and forever. But there's always change here until that last change. All right, let's look at a few scriptures. Now, what I did in this study and what happened to me Saturday night, all right, thank God, the Bible started to run through my mind. So I'm going to read you a few verses. Well, let me read you something John Gill said, first of all, though. I love old Gill. And so this is the opposite of change. We can't depend on anything but God. God is immutable. Remember that word now. Immutable, good theological word, but it means unchangeable. And our God is immutable. So here is what old Gill says about the fact that our God is immutable. Here is solid comfort. Human nature cannot be relied upon, but God can. However unstable I may be, however fickle my friends may prove, God changes not. My friend, he is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. If he varied as we do, and we do vary, you know you do, well, your moods change, don't they? My mood changes. Are you always spiritually strong? No. Sometimes you're spiritually strong. Sometimes you're spiritually weak. Sometimes it looks like you've got control of everything. And sometimes it looks like you're going to make shipwreck of the faith because the temptations are so strong. We change, but he does not change. If he varies as we do, if he will one thing today and another tomorrow, which we do that sometimes, if he were controlled by caprice, who could confide in him? But he is ever the same. My friend, he is always the same. If Jesus Christ has ever once loved you, he always loves you. I'm fixing to read you a scripture in a minute. His love does not change. His purpose is fixed. He's going to save all his children. He purposed to save all his children from their sins, and he's going to do it. Nothing will prevent that. His will is stable. His word is sure. So get in that Word of God, the Bible. His Word is sure. His Word is settled forever in heaven, the Bible says. We can trust on that. You hear a lot of news, right? You hear a lot of these pundits and these people who spin the news, and they try to change the morality. But my friend, the Word of God doesn't change. Don't listen to your environment that's going on today. Listen to the Word of God. Parents, raise your children in the Word of God. Tell them we have absolute right and wrong in the unchangeable, immutable Word of God Almighty. Here then is a rock, and I love this word picture. Imagine the ocean is swirling all around you. I've been in some water before, kind of scary. Judy and I have been. One time we were on a trip and got into a flooded area, and I tell you what, I don't know how we got out of that. It's a long way to go. Couldn't even see the road. We could just see some things on the side of the road and kept us standing, and I was scared if we were going to drown. So it's kind of scary being around a lot of water. And so imagine the world around us like a swirling ocean. But guess what? Hallelujah. We got our feet on a rock, the immutable God Almighty. Put your mind on Him in these elections. Don't go nuts Tuesday. Okay? You put your mind on the rock Almighty God. He's going to have His way. He knows what He's doing. He has control. Here then is a rock on which we may fix our feet while the mighty torrents sweep away everything around us. The permanence of God's character guarantees the fulfillment of His promises. For the mountain, and he quotes here from Isaiah 54 verse 10. Get this. The mountain shall depart, the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee. Neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. My friend, His mercy is everlasting. Isn't that wonderful? Now let's go ahead and spend a little more time on a few scriptures here. These are classic scriptures that people use when they talk about the immutability of God. You ought to get a few of these down and let them be memorized, or at least thought about a lot. I'm going to give you a few of the classic scriptures that have to do with His immutability. He's always this man from James 1:17. This is one of the classic scriptures people use that talk about His immutability. He's the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, in a shadow of turning. Isn't that something? Now, there's some interesting words there. Some very interesting Greek words. I won't go into them right now. But old Gil was pretty smart. There's a couple of words there that even have to do with astronomy. One of them words that we get the word prophet from it. And a parallaxis or something like that. I don't know what Tony knows something about that. But then the sun is not stable, not totally stable. It has vicissitudes. It has different kind of movements. And so that's a play on words right here. With God, with the sun, there is variableness and shadow turning. But with the Lord, there's no variableness, neither shadow turning. He is totally immutable. Now I'm going to read you my favorite two probably now on the immutability of God. Let's go to my favorite two. I mean, these right here make you want to shout. All these make you want to shout. I'm telling you they do. You get a hold of these, get the Holy Spirit, make them real to your heart, and see if He does put some iron in your blood and a twinkle in your eye and a spring in your feet. See if it doesn't do that now. I'm fixing to read you one, my friend. You ought to put your scriptural seatbelt on. And hold on, because there's a great scripture here. Malachi 3:6. I'm the Lord. I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. What a powerhouse. See, we change, don't we? See, I don't change. If I love you, and I'm going to read you another in a minute. My love is everlasting. The way some people believe, you know, you're saved by works. If you're doing well, God loves you. If you're not doing well, God doesn't love you. Well, God will chastise us when we misbehave. But I'm saying, even God told Israel, I'll never totally take my loving kindness away from you. I may chastise you. I may let you go into captivity for a while to teach you a lesson, but I'll never take my love away from you. You remember that. Don't presume on God. Don't say, let us do evil, that good may come. Don't ever do that. That's the wrong thing to do. You got to say, God forbid. Look at that again. I'm the Lord. In my faith, that word Lord, there's in the cap, in the low caps in the Old Testament, that means Jehovah. Jehovah, the great I am. By the way, I am, in the other scripture, it shows he's immutable. He's not subject to time. You're subject to time. That's all we can think about is time. You know, at one time, there's no time. There's no time at one time. There's just eternity. I can't explain that. Some of you people who know physics can maybe do a little better than I can. You really can't handle it. No time. Right now, we're in time. Time changes. My friend, we read in Revelation, the angel will declare, the time shall be no more. That's eternity. Now, we think of eternity in time figures because God has to accommodate himself to our weakness. So we talk about ages. Ages. And by the way, the word age is ion. Ion, we get the word eon from it. But you know what? In the Greek, when you talk about forever, that's ion. But you talk about forever and forever, you talk about ages of ages. How about that? He's just letting us know eternity will never come to an end. We cannot grasp that. We cannot have, you know what you do when you can't grasp something? When your mind locks up, you start worshiping. You start worshiping. You say, Lord, your ways are far above my ways and the heavens are above the earth. So I'm just going to worship you. I can't understand what you're talking about eternity, God. You mean millions of years and trillions of years and quadrillions of years and you keep on going and never comes to an end? That's exactly right. My friend, our God's eternal. And let me tell you something about eternal. The eternal God is our refuge. The eternal God is our refuge. And underneath are his everlasting arms. Isn't that great? The eternal God is our refuge. How long has he loved his children? From eternity. From eternity. Before time began, he loved his people. He chose the people of Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? His love has never abated. It's the same. Let me say something that's a mind blower. Apostle Paul one time was not born again until they were on the road to Damascus. He did many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. He persecuted the church. He harassed the saints. But I'm telling you something. God loved Paul just as much while he's in that state as he did when he got him to be born again. He loved him so much, he sent the Holy Spirit to regenerate him. Isn't that amazing? God's love does not change. God's love is immutable. Let me say something about immutability. Brother Bobby Pope wrote this out in a paper he wrote, and other people do too. You know why God can't change? He can't change. You know why? If he got better, how can he get better if he's perfect? If he got better, he wouldn't be perfect. If he changes going down, he becomes imperfect. See what I'm saying? He can't be better or can't be worse. He's just God. He can't change. You can't do anything with perfection. If you come off of perfection, it's not perfect anymore. If he can do better, he wasn't perfect to begin with. God can't change, my friends. He's unchangeable. All right, that scripture from Malachi. Now, one that goes right along with that is over in Jeremiah 31:3. I hope you'll get these down as classic scriptures on God's immutability. This is Jeremiah 31:3. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. You put Malachi 3:6 together with Jeremiah 31:3 and chew on it for a while and see if that's not a good spiritual steak. Get a lot of nourishment from it. Let's read that again. Jeremiah 31:3. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with everlasting love. Therefore, loving kindness have I drawn thee. My friend, all those he loves, he will eventually draw them to himself. Sometime between their conception and their death, they will be regenerated, drawn to God because of his everlasting love. Hallelujah. Isn't that great? What about God's mercy? I need mercy, don't you? I need a bunch of mercy. Regularly to run out. I think sometimes maybe it's surely to run out. Man, I've been so bad. And I have been. I've tried to serve God, but I make so many mistakes. Sometimes I think about good things, and sometimes I can't sleep because I think about all the bad stuff. Man, I failed him here, I failed him there, I failed him here, I failed him there. Failed my wife, failed my kids, failed the church, hadn't been the pastor I should have been. Sins of omission, things I should have done. Mercy, I need mercy. God, how much mercy have you got? Looks like I've exhausted your mercy. I don't think so, friend. Look at Psalm 100 and verse 5. The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth to all generations. His mercy is everlasting. It'll never run out, and truth will endure to all generations. Nobody will ever get God off his truth. Isn't that glorious? But you know, God wants you to know about this. That's one reason I'm preaching this. God wants you to know about his immutability. Let's look over in Hebrews 6:17. I preached on this not too long ago. A little bit about this. You know, I remember that I said that God makes promises, and his promises are sure. You know, it says there in Titus, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. He can't lie. His promises are sure and steadfast. But the Lord said, you know what? I know I've promised eternal life to my children, but I want to make it even more sure to them. Not only am I not on promise, my promises, of course, are perfect. I'm going to give an oath also. You'll find this in Genesis when God did this, talking to Abraham. He said, I'm not only going to promise, I'm going to swear by myself. He had to swear by himself because he could swear by no greater. But God Almighty promised eternal life to his children, and then he confirmed that promise with an oath. Now, my friend, we lay hold on that. You can live by that. You can die by that. Sister Patty died by that. The saints of God have died by that. You'll die by that. You'll be grabbing a hold of that promise and that oath, my friend, on your deathbed. It's sure and steadfast. Let's read there in Hebrews 6:17, where God Almighty shows us he confirmed his promise by swearing, by the oath. And because he wanted us to know about it. You can't overdo preaching this kind of stuff to God's children. You know, somebody may say, well, Zach, don't preach too much grace now. If you preach too much grace, they're going to get lazy. No, if I preach it right, they won't get lazy. If they're born again, they won't get lazy. You know why? Because my friend, grace will make you love God so much you'll want to serve him. You're not going to serve him because you dread him. You know, many people have a deity, like the Muslims and others have this deity. They're scared to death of him in the wrong way. We fear God, it's a filial fear. We fear we don't want to offend our Father. But it's not a slavish fear like the false gods are. But what I'm saying is, if we do realize how much God loves us, how much He's forgiven us, it's going to give an incentive to us to serve Him with all of our might. We'll want to repent of our sins. We'll want to straighten our act up. We'll want to honor Him and glorify Him by our lives. He's been so good to us. The Lord has been so good to me. That's the song that said the Patty loves so much. I want to sing His praise. I want to glorify His name all my remaining days. Had God been good to you? Have any of you living in sin right now? But had God been good to you? Well, get out of that sin. Repent. Have some of you need to be baptized? Have not been baptized yet? What are you waiting on? What are you waiting on? Don't you make a public profession of your faith in Jesus Christ and stand up for Him? He's been so good to you. Let's read the scripture now. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 17. Wherein God willing more abundantly to show the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel confirmed it by oath. I got to read that again. Isn't it great? It's Hebrews chapter 6, verse 17. Wherein God now, willing more abundantly, He really wanted to do this, to show unto the heirs of promise. I love that heirs of promise, don't you? We're heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We're heirs according to His promise. The immutability, that is the unchangeableness of His oath, that is His covenant of grace, when He promised to save His children their sins, confirmed it by an oath. Isn't that wonderful? And then we have the final scripture I'll give you, and there are many others, but these are the classics on immutability. My friend, what a precious scripture we find in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. Chapter 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday and today and forever. Isn't that wonderful? He's the same yesterday. He died for our sins. He loves His children. We see Him walking on this earth. We read about in the four Gospels. We saw Him have compassion on the ignorant out of the way. We saw Him touch a leper. We saw Him raise people to the dead. We saw Him tell the woman who caught Him sin, neither did I condemn thee, go and sin no more. We see His heart of sympathy. He came down to the tomb of Lazarus, and He knew He would raise Lazarus in just a few moments. But yet, when He saw the sadness and the brokenheartedness of Mary and Martha, the Bible says in John 11, He groaned. He was identifying with them. And then the Bible says, as you know, that shortest verse, Jesus wept. He had changed a bit. He's the same yesterday, today. He's in glory today. He's the same. He has not changed. Those wonderful attributes of compassion and love He had yesterday, He has today. And He'll be the same forever. He doesn't change. So Jesus Christ, He's saying yesterday and today and forever. My friend, I hope you have drawn some comfort from the fact that our Lord is immutable. He's unchangeable. So again, change and decay. And all around us say, O thou who changest not, abide with me. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank You for Your unchangeableness. I have not told it as good as it really is, but the Bible tells it perfectly. And I pray those scriptures I gave will lodge in the hearts of Your children. And Father, we know we got a lot to face right now. It's not much fun to not be able to meet. We want to be able to meet again and pray You'll help us to do so. We hate when change comes to our family, if we lose our loved ones, my Father. And we're apprehensive about our nation, the direction we're going in. I pray you might grant us repentance and have mercy upon us. But Father, in the long run, may we just rely on you. I know we have to think about what's going on around about us, but not in the wrong way. God, may we not go into despair. May not even be real discouraged. Because, Lord, we must lift up our eyes and see we have an unchangeable God. I'm so glad you're unchangeable. Father, I'm so very changeable. I'll make resolutions to do what's right. If people see the stuff I've written now over the years, I made a resolution to do this, I made a resolution to do that, and I meant every word of it. But then look back and I failed to remember it very long. Father, I'm glad you're not that way. So please take this message, the word of God, to the hearts of your children. May they rest on the rock of their salvation, the one who changes not, our precious Lord, in whose name I pray, and amen.